Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Conversations on the Avenue. I'm Arslan Mohammed, and in the first of two special installments of our podcast, we're celebrating the first decade of art, culture, collaboration and innovation at Al Sakal Avenue in the heart of Dubai. 2018 marks 10 years of expansion, ideas, growth and achievement. An evolution of remarkable dimensions as this former industrial estate has become the home to a curated selection of pioneering galleries, art spaces, music, theatre and cinema venues, all on the site of what used to be the Al Sakal family's marble factory. Today, under the direction of founder Abdelmonem bin Isa Al Sakal and his team, headed up by Vilma Yogurt, Al Sakal Avenue has become known internationally as the most exciting and dynamic arts hub in the region. And with over 50 entities in the complex, ranging from art galleries and museums to a year-round residency program, collaborations with global institutions, regular events, and a bursting calendar of cultural activity, Al Sakal Avenue is set to power into its second decade at full tilt. So in order to get a sense of the variety and quality that you can find at the Avenue, I set out to meet just a handful of those who have made the district the success it is today, and to hear their stories and how they see themselves as part of the Al Sakal Avenue story. So then, in the second part of this podcast, we're going to meet with Abdelmonem bin Isa Al Sakal and Vilma Yogurt for a chat about the past, present and future of the Avenue. But first, I decided to catch up with an old friend and an expert in the Dubai art scene, Laura Edgerton, who hosts Al Sakal Avenue's dynamic programme of tours, or Curated Trails, and get her to take me around the sprawling complex and show me just some of the eclectic array of cultural goodies in store. And we began our tour in the very far corner of the Avenue where it all began. So here we are. Here we are in the corner of Al Sakal Avenue where it really all began with the opening of I Am Gallery, which is still here looking very grand and huge. I remember when that opened, actually. Yeah, that was quite a big deal. And then Isabel's gallery opened around the same time, didn't it?
It was about a year, 2 years later, yeah. I believe. Another important staple of the Dubai gallery scene is One by One Gallery, who were split between a warehouse just outside the Avenue and Villa on Awasa Road originally, but with a solid programme of South Asian artists.
Yeah.
So they've also got very large warehouse space here as well, kind of reflecting the community of Dubai in a way. That's how it's been.
One of the things you do are, now you told me the phrase you use, curated trails.
Curated trails,
curated
yes.
Curated trails, okay. So
yes.
What typically would constitute a curated trail?
So one of the great things about Al Sakal Avenue is that they have these moments throughout the year where they pull people in. So one of them is Art Night, so they have kind of every couple of months. And what they like to do is kind of introduce new audience, really, to the galleries. And it's kind of fascinating to me. Everyone I've done, I think I've done three or four now, and I don't know anyone on the trails. They're all new people. I ask
really?
Them, is this the first time you're coming to the Avenue? And many of them say yes. And so I think what's nice is to really kind of give them the A to Z, you know, how you visit an art gallery, what you can get out of visiting spaces like this. But then also kind of give it a theme, a connection. So I've done trails with topics such as like materials matter, where, for example, you're not allowed to read a press release or read a statement at the beginning of a show. You just have to go in and look at the objects and think about what you're looking at, rather than knowing the backstory. The last one I did kind of flipped that around and looked at who the artists were, you know, giving the power back to the individual and how them and their communities were reflected in the artwork. We've also done one, Sonia Bruin has done design tours as well around the Avenue, and she did one recently about colour. I recently did one about kind of textures and, yeah, kind of just looking at things.
So you find angles, you find ways of presenting the diversity of the galleries here, the diversity of the artists and the work and so on, through these tours. And you just, this is an interesting point, you mentioned that a lot of the people who do these tours are newcomers. They're people who are they, do you mean by that they're tourists, or are they, do you get a lot of tourists, or is it many people who just live here and want to explore a little bit?
I think they're more, it's more the residents, I think,
residents.
I think, who come. I mean, tourists, it would be great to get more of them coming here because, you know, like we say, it's a sort of place that can really support the idea that there is culture sustainability here, yeah. that there is a scene with very exciting kind of cutting edge art that's on a level, on a par with other international cities.
Absolutely. Well, let's do a little bit of your curated trail then. So we're standing in the corner right now by I Am Gallery. Where should we go?
Okay.
So we move across the avenue to visit Cinema Akhil at warehouse number 68. A Dubai success story, Cinema Akhil launched in partnership with Al Sakal Avenue in September 2018. Beforehand, it had been a sort of pop-up art house cinema, showing at various locations around town. By opening in Al Sakal Avenue this year, it's become really the GCC's first genuine art house cinema. You get a fairly eclectic programme here, screened in a pleasingly cosy room, complete with sofas and red flock wallpaper. And so that's where I headed to meet the founder and director, Bethina Kazim. I asked her, how does Cinema Akhil cater to the diverse population of Dubai?
I mean, I certainly think the audience profile mirrors the state of the city. I think there's definitely a shift in the kind of talent pools that exist, the diversity of industries that exist right now. Now you have a lot more like creative industries, you have a lot more community initiatives, you have a bigger, not just demographically diverse, but also, economically diverse city. It's it's completely changed the kind of people that come here and and decide to set up shop here, or or get jobs here, which means that we have a much bigger pool of people that are in search for consistent, cultural nourishment, for inspiration. People working in and the thing about film, right, is that there is something in it for everybody. You're not necessarily somebody that's relegated to the world of of the arts or the highbrow kind of space of it's absolutely exciting. It's the most democratic medium, if you ask me. So there is an element of it being, reachable and almost like necessary for everyone. And the other thing about cinema and the way that cinema operates is during times of economic downturn, cinema actually flourishes.
How would you see that Al Sakal Avenue has benefited Dubai over the last decade? What has it brought to Dubai?
So it's a very hard thing to try and sum up, because I think the informality that Al Sakal has sort of insisted on, the private nature of of setting up a patronage driven community that is run by a family. It's not necessarily state owned. Working with a diverse range of of disciplines and spaces, and wanting to have that mix. And a commitment to raising the profile of the practitioners here on an international sort of playground. I think that's something that's been very clear and present at the core of what Al Sakal has done, with still a very clear kind of almost unwavering commitment to the local community and to supporting the indigenous. And I think that's something that has become crucial. I think it's also proven that there is this kind of, underground, informal demand, I think Dubai has always been allergic to, the sense of imperfection or, or any kind of scruff and grime. And I think what, a cluster of warehouses that do have a few buffs and kind of unfinished, spaces in its midst, shows that there is a different way of existing and interacting and interfacing with the city, which tells a larger story about where we are right now, about it takes a temperature of Dubai being coming to a different sort of state of maturity, and has created a template, I think, for other projects in the city to follow suit, maybe perhaps other projects in the region.
Fantastic. Well, we'll leave it there, but thank you so much for your time today. It was great of you just to sweet us in, and I'm very glad we had the chance to chat. So,
thank you for coming by.
So we're now walking down another little boulevard of warehouses, and they still have their industrial feel about them. They're these big blue warehouses, but they're strung with lights in the middle, so I can imagine at night when all this is lit up, it'll look pretty amazing.
Yeah, when we're talking about these moments that Alsacal, you know, have, there's, for example, the Good Vibes Market that comes when there's events like COS Art Fest in January, and they kind of take over one side, where really you have got the artisanal coffee.
Well, we've just reached another coffee shop, yes. And this is Technology, Architecture and Coffee.
So this is TechArt, yes, who are really cutting edge when it comes to 3D printing, and they've got a huge amount of cutting edge resources in these spheres. And then, of course, Grey Noise. Very important.
Grey Noise, yeah, they were one of the first ones here as well, weren't they?
So they just painted their space white. It was always grey.
When they first opened 10 years ago, didn't they have a chicken running around the gallery?
Yes, I do, yes. I mean, really fascinating programme. Yeah, really kind of putting the level very
absolutely
high.
I mean, that was a gallery that's always trod its own path, and it's not driven by a commercial agenda. That's something interesting. Dubai is a very commercial place, but places like Grey Noise are always these wonderful little corners of innovation and artistic exploration, which don't necessarily have that.
But then their neighbour, of course, is Al Marsa Gallery, who originally from Tunisia, who mm-hmm. participated in Art Dubai right from the first edition.
Yes.
You know, specialising in artists from North Africa, with a programme which is quite kind of a straightforward representation of those artists. So they're interesting neighbours in a way. And then, of course, across the road,
Green Art Gallery, yeah.
Who were one of the earliest galleries in Dubai, based down in Jumeirah, in a villa.
Exactly. That was the Atassi family.
Indeed,
the
yes.
The Syrian Atassi family, who
yes.
have been here for ages.
Yeah,
ages.
Very kind of international cutting edge in their programming.
So let's go to Green Art Gallery and meet Yasmin Atassi, the director of this innovative and much-loved art space. One of the oldest art galleries in Dubai, Green Art moved to Alsacal Avenue in 2011, one of the first wave of Dubai galleries to set up in the avenue, where Yasmin's programme has been blossoming over the years. I went to meet Yasmin and we sat down in her office, and this is what she told me.
Green Art was actually established in 1995 by my mother, my late mother, and her Saudi partner, Amna Dabagh. And it was first set up in Jumeirah in a beautiful single-story villa in Jumeirah, went right next to the zoo. I took over the gallery in 2008, and I decided that I should move the gallery, not knowing where I should move, but at that time, it was really the start of, let's say, the art scene in Dubai, and Alsacal was just a bunch of warehouses. Mm. It wasn't even what it is today.
It was pretty empty, wasn't it?
Absolutely, it was empty. But there was, I do think it was Ayam, actually, at the beginning, or Carbon 12. And I started sniffing around, and I thought, this is a great space. I needed a bigger space for my new programming. And, you know, as much as I love Jumeirah, at the end of the day, I think being in Dubai, you've got to be in the same neighborhood. So yes, in fact, to answer your question, Green Art is quite the oldest, one of the oldest galleries in town. And when we moved finally in late 2010, early 2011, it was really a new chapter for, let's say, Green Art Gallery 2.0 into the new programming. Yeah.
And so what sort of things attracted you to moving? Obviously, being amongst other galleries is a bonus.
Sure, of course. As I said, space
is the big thing,
budget, yeah. You know, rents in Dubai at that time were just crazy, and we needed big spaces, high ceilings, just like empty, you know, white space looking buildings at a reasonable cost. And we came through Alsacal. There was no Alsacal team. We moved into the next available unit, and our neighbors really were not all of them galleries. Some of them were, you know, there was this car service guy right. next door, and it was nice. It was a really nice community. I like to be in that community, and I think what Alsacal has done over the last 10 years has been phenomenal.
How would you say it's been phenomenal?
Well, I mean, I grew up in Dubai. I grew up in a city that has no culture. The only, and really the openings at Green Art, or at that time there was also Majlis Gallery, which had a kind of a different kind of programming. They were really the cultural events of the city. I didn't grow up going to a museum. I didn't grow up, going to any kind of cultural venue. So seeing people now, seeing teenagers now, seeing youngsters now, seeing those school groups coming to Alsacal, I think they should be considered very lucky, because we didn't have any of that.
Exactly.
You know, like it or not, it is an educational venue. I mean, commercially, for us, Dubai is really the center of the world, and we do a lot of our business outside Dubai, but also within this, you know, within the region. But I do think that educationally, for people, it has been phenomenal. And it's also created a new rise of entrepreneurship, I think, in the city that didn't exist when I was growing up. A lot of people that, you know, sort of came, either they've never been here and they just came and set up shop and they decided this is where they wanted to set up their own businesses, or they've lived in the UAE for a while and then they left and they came back and decided to set up. And if you look around actually to a lot of the spaces in the Avenue, it really is kind of a, all people who've really contributed a lot to the city. I mean, what would the city be without Asr Kahl? I'm not really sure at this stage. It's kind of, you know, it's strange.
Yeah.
It's had such a big, big impact on the cultural scene, even on the retail scene, you know. I mean, if you think about retail, I'm not an expert on retail, but, you know, malls were always the place to offer retail in,
yeah.
in the Gulf. So to offer something different, albeit with some, you know, difficulty, I'm sure, is interesting, I think.
It's certainly a contrast from what I remember when I was living here around 10 years ago.
Sure.
Where, like you say, I remember Asr Kahl Avenue forever in my mind, really. Asr Kahl Avenue is the empty warehouses, it might be a place. And I'm always surprised every time I come back.
Absolutely.
And just see the range. With Laura now, we were walking around and she was showing off the gyms, the bone broth,
absolutely.
Cafe, the coffee shops,
that.
And that's something I never thought would have been able to exist here, let alone thrive and be a successful business.
Sure.
I guess that generation must now be poised to take it into the next decade.
Sure, absolutely. I totally agree. I think that it let's see what the next 10 years will bring.
What do you hope the next 10 years will bring?
That's a tough question. you know, I mean, I've been living in the UAE for 26 years. I moved when I was 8, and it is home. And I wish that it would, you know, the majority of people would consider it home. I would like more culture, obviously, in the Gulf as well.
Here, for example, in Asr Kahl, I see so much more energy and grassroots energy than ever before.
And I think a lot of difficult art is being shown here. Like when you go, even when you go to New York, you see, I mean, the other day someone walked in and they were like, I don't even see this kind of art in New York.
Mm.
I think that ourselves, a lot of my other colleagues in the Avenue, we really push and present things that probably no sane person or dealer in New York would show.
Right. In what way?
I think just in terms of content, in terms of experimentation, we have the luxury of not having such high overheads in terms of rent. So I think that's what enables us.
There's always something going on. There's always an event going on. There's
absolutely.
Always...
I think they've really, they're really trying to... and hopefully succeeding in creating a different kind of audience, right? Mm. I mean, you're cultivating a new audience. It's not very easy. And I think they've, you know, with all the Alcos Fest and, you know, Social Saturdays and, you know, people bring their kids, people spend the weekend here.
Yeah.
It's something very new. I mean, we used to spend the weekend on beach club on the tennis court, you know? I mean, this is what we used to do.
Now
so,
you can spend the weekend walking around and
it's exciting. It's exciting. I mean,
cafes and shops
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Yasmin, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Arsene.
It's been a busy day, but it's been lovely to see
you. Thanks.
And,
same to you.
All the best for the next 10 years.
Thank you. Hope to see you around in the next 10 years.
I love these little corners where you can kind of...
Yeah, I've noticed those. Again, these are a new thing now, these little rest spots.
And here's our chai man. We can have a chai.
There's a chai man. Are you sure you aren't caffeinated enough?
I think I am, actually.
I just have to point out that Nora is walking around with a flat white at the moment, fueling her.
I am, which probably should be in a...
And your eyes have just lit up at the sight of the chai man. So let's move past the chai man for now. Here we are now down another big boulevard. Now, again, this was...
So this is where the old and the new meet
right.
of the extension. So you can see the differences in the warehouses from the blue to these. These are the...
So this was all built, this is the Jean-Paul Najjar Foundation we're walking through now, walking past now. And so was this all built recently, this area?
Yeah, so it's been, has it been 4 years since the extension?
I think
we just double check our dates on that. But that's really increased the footprint of the avenue. I think at least it's doubled the footprint of the avenue, if not more. And so these galleries here, which were here before the expansion, like Showcase, who also were originally on Jumeirah Beach Road, Gulf Photo Plus, Carbon 12, who were first in the Marina. I remember when I first met them.
They were in the Marina?
They were originally in the Marina for the first year, I think, before moving here. They were kind of facing... a dusty car park and then onto the courtyard.
Yes, I remember.
But now, of course, they've got, you know, wonderful places like Crank and Happy where you can do parkour or have
a
very intense spin session. It's a gym.
Wow.
Yeah. you can do everything here. Yoga.
It's amazing, the diversity of things that are here now. You're somebody who's been here for 12 years and you've seen Asr Kahl evolve over the last 10. Do you think that it was responding to a certain need or a certain void in the city's landscape? I mean, it's such a sprawling collection of things now. It's wonderful.
I think it responds to a lot of what Dubai needs in also convenience. I mean, it's just so fantastic. I mean, I almost find, working as a freelancer in Dubai, hardly a day in the week goes by when I don't need to meet somebody in Al-Sakal Avenue for one project or another. And that's incredible. Like you say, you can get a fantastic coffee, you can see art, you can attend a performance. But I think there needed to be a place like that that's not about something else, which often in Dubai things are about something else.
And one institution here which is definitely its own self is The Fridge, the region's hothouse of musical talent. A rehearsal and performance space in partnership with Al-Sakal Avenue, The Fridge is a buzzing talent agency and the hub of the region's alternative and rock music scene. Musician Shelley Frost, a harpist from South Africa, founded The Fridge originally in 2007, and when I met her, she began by outlining the enduring ethos of The Fridge that has sustained it and her for the past 11 years.
I am the founder, so I've been living in Dubai for 21 years, and The Fridge is 11 years old. So, yeah, I've been active as a musician here for 10 years prior to starting The Fridge. And during that time, basis of what The Fridge is about and the foundations, you didn't realize, but they were brewing and brewing and brewing. And then very organically and naturally got born as The Fridge. I think one of the things that I'm most pleased about is the basis The Fridge started is still the basis on which it rests today, which I think is saying quite something within this fast-changing climate.
How do you define that?
It is defined, it's always had its heart around original music and around doing whatever it can to provide a platform, developing the performing arts scene within the UAE predominantly.
How did you come to integrate this into Al-Sakal?
The Fridge only existed in one warehouse space prior to Al-Sakal, which is in the depths of Al-Khuz 4.
Tori's rock and roll district.
Yes. And we have been based in Al-Sakal for 6 years, so since 2012. What Al-Sakal has allowed us is we have a gorgeous big warehouse space. Almost three quarters of our space is dedicated as a rehearsal / performance area. So we program on a wildly eclectic basis.
And how integrated are you in the Avenue's program of events and so on?
We're very, very closely integrated, and increasingly so as the Avenue has developed since it's doubled in size, and there's been interesting curatorship in terms of the tenants that are part of this community. So we perform part of Al-Khuz Fest and then another annual event called The Yard Sessions. It's gone under different names, but it's eventually settled on the name The Yard Sessions, which is a fabulous platform in the space in front of Concrete, where we'll have 6-7 or mostly locally based bands. And this year we also have a very well-known regional band, so it's turned into a two-day event.
Mm-hmm. Who's the band?
The band is Jadal. Jordan. They have a huge support. They're based in Jordan, but they have a huge support in the region.
So tell me about the curatorship.
When we originally moved into Al-Sakal in 2012, events were predominantly centered around the visual arts. Mm. There were some commercial entities, but essentially it was
galleries.
Correct. Yeah. Because it was so wished by the Al-Sakal family, and has really opened up a much broader performing arts community. Mm-hmm. Of course, The Junction, which is theatre, independent cinema with Cinema Akil. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that everyone being in this one place all together really has diversified your audience and brought in people who otherwise wouldn't have come to a place like The Fridge?
Definitely does diversify the audience, and it also allows the audience the possibility of fabulously interesting collaborations. There's so many inspiring people in the Avenue. Every single entity here is led by someone visionary and someone who is passionate and dedicated and inspired. And it's so exciting to be together and to have the time now that everything's settled as we move into really our first full season with everybody well settled in their spaces.
So in this podcast, we're discussing really 10 years of Al-Sakal Avenue as it is now. What do you hope to see happening here over the next 10 years?
I have to say, coming from where I come from, obviously, is a really integrated performing arts festival that really sits on the map. Festival.
That's a great idea. Do you think you might set one up?
I think I might. Yes.
Good. Well, Shirley, thank you so much for your time today. It's been wonderful talking to you, and all the best for the fridge and all your sailing.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Let's slide down this lane here, shall we? Get some shade.
Now, this is a really remarkable building. I'm guessing this big black monolith covered in concrete is in fact concrete.
Interesting where they got their name from. And to our right is the Al-Sakal residency spot, where they have a series of artists, writers, curators coming on board for different cycles of residency.
This huge metal building here.
And I think they've arguably got the best eggs in the Avenue, apparently.
Best eggs?
Yeah, if you need to go in there and have breakfast, apparently it's a good spot to go.
This is something you've researched in depth.
I haven't actually sampled them yet. I'm hoping that this will mean that I get to sample them. So concrete, you know, is a marvel. I mean, it's designed by Rem Koolhaas. It's a really kind of cutting-edge space. And we've seen some fantastic artworks in here. I mean, the wonderful While We Wait sculpture.
Yes.
That was really my highlight. It opened with a wonderful show of Syrian artists. They recently had a show, Adapt to Survive, which was in collaboration with the Hayward Gallery.
Yes, yes, I remember. We had that on the podcast, actually.
Mm.
Yeah.
Terrifying, but wonderful, And we're here in the yard, which is refreshing because it's no cars.
That's true. I was wondering what made it different in here. And there are no cars. It's also quite cool and shady.
Well, thanks to Rem Koolhaas, we've got shade.
Rem Koolhaas. Shade from Rem Koolhaas. So, Laura, briefly, but how do you see the next 10 years playing here? What would you like to see taking place in this big complex over the next decade?
I think it's really about taking what's here to another level. It's about variety in programming. It's about quality. It's about looking at, you know, what the needs are for the community. It's supporting. I mean, I think one thing that's lovely about Al-Sakal is that it's a place that's very welcoming to artists, which a lot of commercial gallery centres aren't particularly. Mm. Same as the art fairs here. They're somewhere where artists are comfortable, which internationally isn't necessarily the case. And it's really kind of increasing an awareness and understanding about public art as well, which I still think is kind of has got somewhere to go here in the UAE. And just kind of openness, kind of debate. And it, bringing in new audiences is important as well. Like we're saying, I mean, the tourists, I'm not sure how many tourists come to Al-Sakal Avenue. You know, there's a lot to compete with in Dubai. But I think the ones, I always bring people here and they're amazed because it's very unique.
I think if people were to come here more and see just so much activity and grassroots energy.
I think the grassroots is what's crucial. You know, the green fingers, it's got that feel to it. But it's also realizing that it's 24/7, it's 12 months a year.
Yeah.
People, especially the art community internationally, they come here for a week in March, increasingly now a week in November. But things are happening here every day of the year. So I think that's what's important to remember as well. And that it's not just fine art as well. Like we're saying, the diversity.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go off and start to explore a few more things. But Laura, thank you so much for the little curated trail.
It's been a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. And of course, you're here on a regular basis. You're organising the COS Festival in January.
Yes.
And there'll be many, many more curated trails. So I guess people should look it up on the Folio website and find out when they can come and join one.
Absolutely. We write it up on there so you can do it yourself.
Perfect. Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Recently, the Zayed University's urban satellite space opened up near Concrete. It's an exciting new partnership with Al-Sakal Avenue, and I went to meet long-term Dubai resident Janet Bellotto, the professor of art at Zayed University, and a long-term champion of Al-Sakal Avenue and the Emirates art scene in general, to find out how she saw the innovations of the past decade influencing a new generation of local artists. And, of course, she also gives me the inside scoop on this exciting new space and how she feels it will benefit students and the community.
I'm a professor of visual arts in the College of Arts and Creative Enterprises at Zayed University.
There are two things I want to talk to you about. First is the space at Al-Sakal Avenue. Secondly, as somebody who's been in Dubai, really pre-Al-Sakal, how do you see Al-Sakal Avenue having affected young students and art students?
Well, as you were saying, Al-Sakal has made a great impact in the art scene in Dubai. There wasn't really anything like this prior to 2008, and it really needed a location where galleries could be, where young artists could go and look at contemporary right. work. I mean, there were galleries, for example, Third Line was in the Al-Quaz area. You had, you know, galleries all over in different parts of the city. And once Art Dubai started, more galleries started opening up and started creating awareness. But in terms of community, I mean, you had also some galleries at DIFC, but something in a district like you see in other cities where you walk around, where there's different things happening, where there's a platform. So you have commercial galleries, you have design stores, and now you have such a diversity in there. You know, you have Cinema Kiel that just opened, so it's really covering a large variety of arts. So for students, this has been very important because it's one location that we've been able to bring them, that they see what regional, local artists are doing, but also international artists with, you know, all the galleries that have come in internationally, especially in the years. But Al-Sakal plays a whole different role, and with its recent expansion, students have been able to see what they can do and potentially where they can go in their profession. So in the last few years, Al-Sakal Avenue actually provided us some great opportunities to do some pop-up exhibitions where we've actually been able to showcase some of our alumni and what they're doing. And there's not many spaces here that you could do that. So they've really also invested in young artists. I know they have a program there as well, residency that they run. Another point is with these pop-up exhibitions, we've been able to develop an interest also from our stakeholders and see the need for also our alumni place to mentor them and showcase what they do. We do an annual exhibition every year, but this actually allowed us to bring some alumni further. And so we were able actually just recently open up our own space in Al-Sakal behind concrete.
And what's in that space?
That space will be multifunctional. Right now we have an exhibition of recent graduates and their work. But, you know, we're planning for art exhibitions to host workshops and talks, a variety of things that will feature our alumni. Our faculty, a place where students can go and also be a connection, I think, and we hope, with all the other galleries in the district, in the avenue. And also a place where we hope to do exchanges with other institutions or universities and host exhibitions. So, you know, because we are sort of a nonprofit, you know, being an educational institution. But for us, it's a satellite. So it's called Zayed University Urban Satellite Space. And because we're not located in the center of the city, it also gives us a better connection to the community that we're a part of. I think because, you know, all our students who are Emirati students, this also plays very well into the national agendas. And Al-Sakal has really supported us on this venture. It's really a collaboration. Right. With them, so what better place than to be surrounded by peers?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Janet, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much for your time, and we hope to see you back in Al-Sakal on many, many occasions over the next 10 years.
Thank you. I hope so too. I can't wait to look at its expansion.
And with that, we round off our day at Al-Sakal Avenue. And I really want to thank all our interviewees on this edition, each of whom can safely be said to have contributed a significant part of the success of the Avenue over the decade. So stay tuned for part two of this series, when we're going to meet the founder and director of Al-Sakal Avenue. But until then, thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and generally tell everyone about this podcast. And join us soon for the second part of Conversations on the Avenue, a decade of Al-Sakal Avenue.